Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Be turning in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And I'm glad that we did that song because we're really going to be looking at a time today when we come to faith alone and bring in Luther's understanding of faith as we're talking about the Reformation and the five solas, where Luther certainly didn't think God was a good father. And I'll explain more about that in a moment, but I hope that you understand by the time this message is over what a good father that he is. And you know, I understand we come together. Sometimes good and father in your mind don't go together. And I don't know everybody's background. I don't know everybody's history. But I do hope that today, when we leave here, you understand the goodness of the Father. And it deals with the faith that he enables us to have. Not a faith that we have to earn, but a faith that is a gift. I want to ask you this question. I've entitled this message, Sola Fide, or Faith Alone. And then I've called it this, Our Greatest Need. What's the greatest need that you have in your life? Now, if you don't think really in terms of theology or really even Christianity, you may say, well, the greatest need I have in my life is necessity, the basic necessities. I need air. I need water, I need food, I need a lot of food sometimes, but a lot of things I need. Maybe that's where you track when you think about what you need, your greatest need. Maybe you think about it in terms more like theological terms, and you think, well, I need Jesus. Well, I'll just tell you, Jesus is never the wrong answer. Now, what I might push you on there is to explain what you mean by that. You say, well, I just need Jesus to be there for me. Well, understand, there's a day coming where Jesus is going to be present in a place. And Jesus is going to pronounce to people, depart from me, I never knew you. So I would say Jesus is the right answer, but develop that a little bit more. What is our greatest need? See, what our greatest need is, it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is his righteousness because sin is what separates us from God. In the garden, God said, Adam, Eve, when sin, if you sin, there will be a death. And we know that was not an immediate physical death, although I believe physical death was ushered in at that time. But there was a spiritual death, a separation. So just the same thing that separated Adam and Eve from God separates us from God. And that is sin. So how do we get the righteousness of Christ imputed to us? Do we earn it? That's what certainly some people believe. Is that we work and work and work and work, and maybe we'll do enough to earn the righteousness of God. Now, that doesn't come from Scripture, but that's certainly how most of your theological systems from other religions are built. It's all on what I earn. Well, today we're going to look at sola fide, faith alone. Luther called it the doctrine of which all the other doctrines flowed. And we're going to talk about the greatest need that we have and how that need is met through faith. These are key verses in the New Testament. I'd say key verses in the Bible. Some of you will know them by heart. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1. Paul writes this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. To everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek." Let me stop for just a second. What does that mean? Well, it was simply the order in which the gospel came. The gospel was first proclaimed among the Jewish audience, among the Jews, and then it spread as the church grew. It spread out into the Gentile world. So there's no differences. There's no distinctions here. The gospel is for all. First to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I want to look today at two keys to understanding our greatest need, that being the righteousness of God. The first key is this: it's a word of humble boldness. A word of humble boldness. Now, that's two words you don't often put together, is it? Humility and boldness. But that's exactly what we see here in Paul's words, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Now, I kind of jump to boldness because that's what I think of. I think of the boldness to proclaim the gospel, the boldness to preach the gospel, the boldness to take the gospel around the world. I think in Paul's day, he was saying to the people of Rome, "Yes, I am coming there. And you may think you put to death a peasant in Jerusalem who claimed to be a king. You may see him as a peasant, but he is the one that I stand on. He is the Messiah." And there is a boldness through which Paul proclaims, "I will stand with Christ." So where's the humility? Well, the humility is in the fact that it's the gospel. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." See, when we proclaim the gospel, when we affirm the gospel, we are also affirming our own need, our own depravity. We are affirming the evil that's in our own heart because we're proclaiming we need the gospel. So when you say, "I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ," you are saying, "I can't earn my salvation. I couldn't buy my salvation. But it's what Christ did for me. He forgave the sin in my life." And it takes humility. Paul would say, "I am the chief of sinners." It takes humility for us to say, "Jesus Christ, I need you. I need your forgiveness and I need your grace." See, Luther was broken by the sin in his own life. He was just broken. Now, I think many times today we're not broken by our sin. And the reason we're not broken by our sin is because we have a great defense mechanism, and it's called other people. See, because I can say this. I know I'm a sinner. But I know I'm not as bad as Kyle. I mean, I know I'm not as bad as Scott Mather. I mean, I just know in my heart I'm not as bad. And that's what we do. Oh, you don't. I'm joking, everybody. That's what we do. We compare ourselves to someone else. And we say, "I could never go there." See, I think someone that's more bit like Luther and Paul would look at someone else and say, "Boy, I know the darkness in my own life. I know how low I can go. And yes, but for the grace of God, I could be there as well." And because we can look and cast upon other people and justify our own sin, we are not broken and humbled by our sin. See, Luther understood he needed the righteousness of Christ. He understood that. So he worked and worked and worked because that's what he was taught. See, he was taught, and you can go read, and really the canons that came from the Council of Trent, really during this time, especially canon number 24, it was a papal decree that said, for anyone that says that justification is not added to by our works, that it's not supplemented and added to, it says, let them be anathema. Literally means let them go to hell. Let them be separated from God. So Luther was taught that you work in order to obtain the righteousness of God, that it all added together. But for Luther, he never thought that he did enough. So he was just miserable because he says, well, wait a minute. I prayed for 5 hours this morning, but I could have prayed for 5.5. You know, I studied for an hour. I could have studied for 2 hours. I fasted for a day, but I could have fasted for 2 days. He never thought he did enough. Matter of fact, Luther spent so much time in the confession chamber. Finally, the confessor said, Luther, go commit some big sins and then come back. I'm tired of hearing all these little things. You think you had this impure thought because you thought you might have had an impure thought. Go have an impure thought and then come back and tell me about it. And here's what it did. It caused Luther to hate God. Because here's what Luther said. He said, the one thing you require of me, you know I can't give you. The one thing you require, I can't give you. And it caused him to hate God. Imagine, and if you've had somebody in your family affected by cancer, imagine me coming to you and say, hey, I've got a pill for cancer. It will cure it today. Oh my goodness, my loved one's gonna live. And I said, it's $1 billion. You look, I can't get that kind of money. I can't put that money together. Wait a minute. You have something that will bring salvation, but I can't give you what you need. That's exactly how Luther saw the righteousness of God. It's always just one step away. You know the insurance commercial where you get like the dollar back and it's the old fisherman and he's holding the dollar and the woman's trying to catch it just above her hand? That's how Luther saw the really face all the righteousness of God. Is it was just out of his reach. But then Luther begins to study the Word of God. And he studies in particular the book of Romans. And he studies about how if we aren't declared righteous, if we don't have the righteousness of God, then we are cast away from God. He understood that fine. Then he comes to the text like we have today, where he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, as Luther began to study the Word of God, he did something very important. He studied the Bible in the original language. Now, before he had studied the Latin translation of the Bible, and it talks about that we are made righteous. Now, implied through good works. That as we work, we are made righteous. But when he studied in the original language, he said, it doesn't say we are be made righteous. It says we are declared righteous by God through what Christ has done. So this totally transformed Luther's thought. So now when Jesus would say, like in Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness be greater than the Pharisees, nobody thought their righteousness could be greater than the Pharisees. And they were exactly right. But what Jesus was saying is that it's not what you do. It's not the outward performance. It's not the works that you do that bring about salvation. It comes from faith. And we'll talk about more about faith in just a moment. But he says salvation isn't merited because of works. It comes through faith. And that totally transformed Luther's understanding of a good father. Totally just transformed his understanding of what it means to be saved. And it really leads us to the second key for understanding the righteousness of God. And that is a work that is done for us. A word of humble boldness. And that was really the result of a work that was done for us. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. It is what is needed for salvation for everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. And again here, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now let's talk about faith, okay? We're here to talk about faith alone today. It's easy if you're not careful. Last week we looked at grace. You can have a wrong idea about faith. That is, you can begin to think, well, grace is what God does, and faith is what I do. So God gives me grace, and then I conjure up faith enough to trust Him. That's the wrong view. See, just as grace is a gift of God, so faith is a gift of God. Let me tell you how that works. You see, it's the Spirit of God that begins to dwell within you. Okay, the Spirit of God begins to draw men and women and boys and girls unto Himself. We're convicted by the sin in our life. There is a regeneration that takes place in our lives. So we understand that faith, just like grace, is a gift of God, because it's not a blind faith. See, it's not just faith that saves you, because you could have faith in the wrong thing. See, it's faith in that Christ gave His life. It's the gospel. It's faith understanding through faith that I don't deserve Christ. Through faith, I understand I can't earn my salvation. Through faith, I understand what Christ did on Calvary's cross. I understand through faith the drawing that He did of me into Him, to be united with Him. And it's also the faith that will keep me with Him and allow nothing to ever snatch me from His hands. That is the faith that Luther understood. Now, Luther continued to work. But what he understood was that I am not adding to my salvation. See, this is why we should desire to have our faith strengthened. Our faith can be tested. We should desire to have our faith to grow. Because we're not saved by works, it doesn't mean we shouldn't desire to do works. But now Luther understood that he wasn't doing these works of righteousness in order to be declared righteous. He was doing these works because of what Christ had already done for him, had accomplished for him, and through the Spirit of God had saved him. Now, when he understood this, this is what I wrote down. This is where Luther goes from the puppy to the pit bull. Because in this day, understood, indulgences were an amazing thing. I want you to just put yourself back there. I mean, you have a hard life. There are plagues. There's disease. And you feel like, okay, the best I've got coming is after I die, I've got years and years of purgatory before I'm in heaven. And then someone says, well, you can pay penance or you can buy an indulgence and you can miss that, or you can at least have that greatly reduced. See, the reason this so wrecked Luther is because Luther had practiced indulgences. He would write, yes, I did. I participated. Why? Because he thought he was earning his way to heaven. But when he realized that grace and faith were both gifts of God, and it was not about the work you were doing, but the work Christ had already done, it transformed him. And then he sees these people that he loves and cares for giving up their money, giving up all that they have in order to what they would say, buy a place into heaven. It just unleashed him in his fullness to fight this practice. So Luther understood that it was the work that Christ had done, and that he wasn't working for his salvation, because that had been accomplished through the work of Christ and through the gift of faith, and it totally transformed Luther's thought, and it transformed the church to even where we are today. So what do we say about faith? It's a gift. It can be strengthened. It can be tested. We should desire to pour out our lives for Christ. We should desire to do good works. See, Paul had to come back after this. And remember, there were those who were saying, well, wait a minute. If all this is what Christ has done, then I'll just live how I want to live. It doesn't matter what I do. And remember, he says, wait a minute, should we sin more that grace would abound more? No. See, if we truly have that saving faith that Scripture talks about, we will want to pour out our lives. We will want to serve Christ. We will want to do these things. Again, not because they're giving us salvation, but because of what Christ has done. So what do we take away from this? Well, first of all, we understand the faith that saves us is the faith that keeps us. Let me just hit this real quick. It says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What does that mean, from faith to faith? Well, there's people have interpreted that differently. I believe it literally means that it's the faith that saves us. It's also the faith that keeps us. The faith that brings about justification is the faith that brings about sanctification. So see, we can rest easy in the arms of Christ, knowing that no one can take him away from us or take us away from him. So how do we view this faith alone and our greatest need being the righteousness of God? And Luther understood that the righteousness of God came because Christ gave his life. And even though we're sinners, we are declared righteous because he has given us his righteousness. He took our penalty so that we could be declared righteous, and that is through faith. So what should we do? I wrote down several things. I said, first, we should be broken by our sin. Let's cast off this idea of let's justify that we're not all that bad by pointing to someone else. Let's see the evil in the world and have the understanding, but for the grace of God, we could be there also. Let's be broken and humbled by the sin in our life that Luther called just rebellion. But let's also be thankful. Let's be thankful for what Christ has done. And that by grace, through faith, we can rest in His arms. Let's be thankful for the love that He has poured out. Let's be thankful that our greatest need to be declared righteous, to take care of that that separates us from God, He has given us. He has met that greatest need. And then let us be the ones that are quick to go into a world where so many believe they are working their way to heaven, and say, it's not by our works. Don't be deceived. It's not by our works. But it is by His grace and through faith, which comes when the Spirit of God works within us to draw us unto God. So I want you today, we're going to have a time of invitation. And for the believer in Christ today, I really pray that you will just have a spirit of thanksgiving. If there's sin you need to confess, confess that sin. Then have a spirit of thanksgiving that Christ has dealt with that sin. If you don't know Christ, I invite you during this time to come and let someone pray with you. Let's even go into a deeper understanding of what is faith. And how can we receive that righteousness of Christ? I invite you to come. God's drawing you to unite here as part of our church family. We'd love to pray with you about that. I just invite you to come today. Come and pray. Come and confess. Come and be thankful. Because it is through faith alone that we have the righteousness of God.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.